2 Timothy 3, 1-5 says, for the context, let's read it all. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Father God, we pray today, God, give us an understanding of what you're telling us here. God, bring your word to life. It is alive, but bring it to life in our hearts, Father, so that we can leave this place and have a better understanding of what you're teaching us from your word and be able to apply that and go out and to accomplish what you want with it. And God, that we would go out and teach others about these things. And God, we would be able to show people how they can have victory over these qualities that maybe are in their lives, or God, that you would show us how to have victory over these qualities that may be found in us. And God, I pray today we would just be clean, holy vessels before you. And God, that you've identified these for a few weeks now, and we've had time to think about these and to examine our lives and to think about, are these qualities found in me? Maybe one, maybe 15, who knows? But God, you do, and you know our hearts. So God, I pray you're glorified today. Speak through me. God, I pray that we would just be on fire for you. God, you've got us in this place at this time for a direct purpose. And God, let us be focused on that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we all understand we need to be doing our role. So what does this have to do with doing our role, okay? What does this portion of Scripture have to do with doing our role? Well, we need to put into action what God has called us to do. We need to put into action to identify these qualities, okay? And I would venture to say that we've all struggled with one of these qualities in our life, okay? Or maybe all of them. Maybe you're like, I don't even know what some of these mean. And we're trying to define these and to illustrate these so that we can have an understanding of what these mean. And but oftentimes, when we're putting into action what God has called us to do, we are chasing a treasure, okay? And like I said earlier, for where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And the treasure that we may be chasing may be the wrong treasure, okay? We may be chasing a 4-bedroom house on 5 acres with a shop and a pond and big trucks with big tires and big wheels and big jobs and big money and big bank accounts and all of these things, right? And then one day, it's all going to be gone. That treasure is going to be gone. Okay, and I'm not saying it's not cool to have those things. Hallelujah. If God's blessed you with that, hallelujah. But that is not the treasure we're to be focused on. That it doesn't make any difference. We must consider what our treasure is. Praise the Lord that God has given us this day, this moment, this minute, this second, that we can repent if we're chasing after the wrong treasure. And we can say, God, I'm so sorry. God, I'm wasting your time chasing the wrong things. I'm like a dog chasing its tail, right? And I'm not going anywhere. But I'm building this giant kingdom here on earth, but it doesn't make any difference. One way to accomplish this, one way to figure out what treasure we're chasing is to look at our character. To look inside of us. What kind of character do we have? In 1 Timothy, and then in Titus, we can see a list of character qualities, right, that's laid out for bishops and deacons and pastors and deacons. So we're like, well, I'm not a pastor or a deacon, so I don't need to look at those. No, you do need to look at those because, man, if we could have those kind of character qualities in our lives would change, okay? Our lives would change, and we should strive to be holy. We should strive to be more Christ-like. Not all of them will apply to us, but it gives us something to strive for in our list, because oftentimes we're striving after this list right here in chapter 3 of this nasty, gross, these nasty, gross things. So we've been spending, this is like the third or fourth week that we've been looking at these qualities in verses 2 through 5. And we're using that as a mirror, like I said, for us to look at and to see what kind of character we have. Okay, if we can identify with one of these, we need to repent. We need to say, God, I don't want this in my life. I hate this. It's disgusting, and you don't like it, so I want it removed from me. Or we can try to flesh it out and get rid of it ourselves, and then we'll just be chasing that for the rest of our lives. These are not good characters. They're for sure not godly characters. And in fact, I would go and venture to say that these are characters of a lost man. Though carnal Christians can have these as well, these will really help you to identify if someone's born again or not. We've been challenged by God's word to take a deep look into our own heart and to see what's there. He has us here for a reason. It's not a coincidence. And God has used this portion of Scripture for a direct reason for each one of our lives. So don't check out. Remember, hey, God is speaking to us. And we're all a work in progress, and none of us have come to the point to say, God, I've got it figured out. You're done. You've fixed everything in my life. I don't need you anymore. That's not a good place to be as well. It's just not true. The Bible says that there are some that think they have it all figured out, though. The Bible calls these types of people fools. Fools. In Proverbs 18:2, it says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 and 7, following our passage today, it says, but for this sort are they that creep into houses and lead silly women laden with sin, or lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. In verse 7, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Right? Puffing your brain up great big, right, with all of this knowledge, but never understanding what the truth really is. And Isaiah 5:21 says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We all know someone that, man, they just know everything. And 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 20 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become as a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Well, I'm a doctor. I have a degree. I have all this. Great. But what do you know about God? For it is written, he hath taken the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. What needs to happen is a big dose of humility needs to be delivered, right? Dump truck load into our lives of humility so that we can be knocked right back down where we belong. Because pride rages on and it blinds the eyes of those that need to be delivered. It blinds the eyes of those that think they know something. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Change direction. We have to change direction is what we have to do. These that we're talking about in the passage today have become wise in their own eyes and think they know something when in fact they're wrong. They're false teachers. They're teaching things that are drawing away people from the truth. They're worldly minded and self-focused. Their focus was to disrupt the church. Their focus was to disrupt what God was doing there in Ephesus. They were coming in and they were just, man, blasting this disgustingness all over everyone that was there. In Matthew 7:15, it says, to beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. Each of these qualities that are found in this passage point to self-glorification, not God-glorification. This is how we can identify sin in our lives. This is how we can identify if there's sin in our life. Are we glorifying ourselves or are we glorifying God? Okay? Because if we're glorifying God, man, we can't glorify God with sin. Sin is not found in him. What does whatever I am doing glorify? Me versus God, what is it glorifying? This list is a very detailed list that Paul writes here for Timothy to help him identify. And this is what is so awesome about the Lord is he saw it fit to be so detailed that he makes this massive list of what's coming, right? And these perilous times shall come, boom, and he lays all these things out, all of these character qualities out for people to identify what's going on. So the list. Like I said, we're going to cruise, so just hold on. I think we're going to look at the last 10 here today. We're going to define them. We're going to get an understanding of what each one means so that we can identify them, and we're going to look at the remainder of them. So number one, right? This will be quick. I don't want to tarry too long. The first one's a truce breaker. A truce is like a treaty, right? I call a truce, right? When I was young, I had a brother, and we would beat on each other, and we would do things to each other, and we whatever it was doing, it would come to a point where we're like, okay, he would. It was always him because he was younger. I call a truce. I don't want to be beat up anymore, right? Now today it would be the opposite. I would be like, calm down. Truce. And we've probably all said this at some point in our life, and maybe it was during a prank war or where we'd finally had enough. But these types here in this passage don't hold to the truce. They simply do what they want, when they want, how they want, and it doesn't matter if you've signed a peace treaty. No more war, right? Okay. And then the war rages on. They just keep doing it. Their word means nothing. The second one's false accusers, and these are slanderers. Those that accuse someone of something without any proof. And Proverbs 12:22 says, the lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those that deal faithfully are his delight. How often, and maybe it's just me, do we falsely accuse someone of something? Because we think we know, right? But really, there's no proof. This would be like going to court to accuse someone of something with no evidence. Well, that's going to get thrown right out, okay? But these people, man, they just falsely accused to slander the names of those in the church there in Ephesus, and man, just dump dirt on it. It didn't make any difference who it hurt or what it did. They were just cool with being false accusers. And the third one's incontinent. This one means powerless, without self-control. The Bible also uses the word temperate for this word self-control. So the absence of temperance in one life would mean that they are incontent or incontinent. Sorry, I always mispronounce that. In Proverbs 25:28, it says this. Proverbs 25:28. It's he that hath no rule of his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Oftentimes we speak before we realize what we're saying, and we have no self-control, or maybe this self-control has to do with food, right? And God taught me a great lesson by using COVID in my life, because I love food, okay? And he's like, well, how do you like food when you can't taste it nor smell it? I'm going to give you some self-control. So he did, okay? Hopefully that lasts a little longer than a week. But he uses all things to bring, he wants us to be victorious. He wants us to have self-control. He wants us to be able to say no, or he wants us to be able to say yes, whatever it is. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And you know that temperance is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And man, that fruit doesn't come from the flesh. It only comes from the Spirit. So if we're not walking in the Spirit, there will be no fruit that glorifies God. Nothing. Because walking in the Spirit, or in the flesh, only glorifies ourselves. The absence of temperance, the absence of self-control, man, incontinent people do whatever they want whenever they want to do it. The fourth one is fierce. This word fierce, I use the Strong's to define all of these. This word fierce means savage. And maybe some of you guys have teenagers in your house. This word savage, it's like every other word is, man, that was savage. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then before you know it, you start saying, well, that was savage. I don't even know what I'm saying. Well, let me tell you, I did some study on this. You know what it's also tied to? Lame. Lame. That word savage is tied to the word lame. So I'm pretty sure when these teenagers, right, or these adults that are trying to be teenagers, say, that was savage, and they're meaning, that was awesome, or that was ruthless, really means that was lame. Hope you're listening, shorty. I don't think people would want to be called lame. But it's a truly disrespectful word. To be savage is not a good quality. Fierce. Man. So if someone tells you you're savage, what they're really saying is, man, you're just a lame duck. You're lame. A fifth one's despiser of those that are good, and meaning hostile to virtue, an enemy of those that are doing the Lord's will. And there's none good. We know that. But when we're born again, okay, we use that verse, there's none good, no, not one, right? Except for Jesus, right? But when we're born again, we identify with Christ through a relationship with Him. So in return, that makes us good. Now, I'm not saying that we are somebody, but we have Jesus Christ living inside of us, and He is good. So if He lives inside of us, and we're walking in the Spirit, then that in return, we can quit saying that. But to be a despiser of those that are good, meaning you're against those that are glorifying God with their life, and the thing is, we are good in God's eyes, okay? If you're born again today, God sees through the blood-stained glasses, right? Jesus Christ's blood was shed on the cross for the remission of sin for the whole entire world, okay? So that we can be forgiven because of what Jesus did. So these types of people that despise us, against us, they're against us, it's because we identify with something good. We identify with God. We are children of God. We are Christians, little Christ. So of course, these that are trying to disrupt what God is doing are going to be against us, despisers of those that are good. I want to read one portion of scripture out of Psalm 27 that tells us, I love what this says. I don't want to butcher it. Psalm 27 verses 1 through 14. It's a pretty good picture or portion of scripture here. The whole chapter, but it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should be raised against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in the temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in the pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Verse 6, "And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about thee. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not my servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such are breathed out cruelty. I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So oftentimes, we cry a pity party, right? Because those that are despisers of those that are good. And we cry a river, man, so-and-so's, man, they're picking on me, they're doing this, they're doing that. But what if we cry out to God and say, God, deliver me from that? And you know, the Bible's very clear that we're going to face persecution and we're going to face hard times. But the Bible's very clear that God loves us and he wants us to be victorious and he wants us to rely completely on him. And it says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Instead of fighting our own battles, because that's what happens. Someone's doing something to us and we just rage out, flesh out, and do whatever we want to in order to defeat that enemy, whoever that enemy or whatever that enemy is. And it doesn't matter what happens. And then our testimony becomes tainted. When in fact, we should just take it and trust God and he'll deliver us. The next one, number six, is traitors. We pretty much know what a traitor is. It's one that betrays, switches sides easily. And when I've seen this quality, I couldn't help but think of Judas. Judas was, he was blessed. He had a position, he was one of the 12. And then for 30 pieces of silver, he switched sides. He delivered Jesus into the hands of those that murdered him. For 30 pieces of silver, he became a traitor. He went from one of the chosen to the one that betrayed. And how often are we swayed by that, right? Somebody dangles a carrot in front of us and we're hungry and we're like, I'll do whatever it takes in order to get that carrot in my mouth. Or whatever that is, right? The trap from the devil that is being placed in our lives that we just like, we become blinded by that and we can't help but just to see that. And it doesn't matter who we affect. It doesn't matter what we do to our brother or sister. It doesn't matter how we affect our spouse or our children. It doesn't matter what we do. As long as I get what I want and I'm willing to switch sides at any moment. And sometimes I might even want to switch back. You know, the devil looks at us as traitors. And I love it. I love it. When you think of that, right? He's mad. He's honked off, right? Because we surrender our life and given our life to Jesus Christ and we believe the gospel, right? We've become a new creature in Christ. And he is mad. And he looks at us like, you're a stinking traitor. And we should say, absolutely. In a good way, not in this way. Don't be a traitor. Don't switch sides. Don't betray. The seventh is to be Heidi, meaning reckless, moving forcefully, recklessly or rapidly, violent. This group that we're talking about here in this list today, man, they had a violent side. They were seeking to destroy. To be Heidi is to, man, it just be like a bulldozer moving stuff out of your way to accomplish what you want. Not with any regard to what it's who it's going to affect or how it's going to affect them. I told you we're going to move through these quickly. Number eight is high-minded. To be high-minded is to be proud. And we know what the Bible says about proud, and we could spend the rest of the year looking at verses about pride, but just for the sake of time, we'll just look at two, okay? Just pick two out of the book of Proverbs, because you can see tons and tons of that in the book of Proverbs. But in the book of Proverbs, verses 16, verse 5 says this. It says, everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. An abomination to the Lord. God does not like pride in our lives. And then in chapter 21, verse 4, it says, to the liking of that, it says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Simply defined as sin, right? Pride is just sin, and it's ugly. And all pride does is self-promote. It self-promotes. We already know the Lord has no desire for us to have pride in our life, but we also know that pride is what caused Lucifer to fall, right? The beginning, right? This is what happened. Pride entered into the picture, and then, man, it's just been destruction ever since. We don't want to be high-minded. There's so many high-minded people in this world, and I think that I think all of us struggle with this if we were honest. Because you know what? I'm proud, right? Well, it's okay to be proud to be certain. I'm proud to be born again, right? I'm proud to be a child of God. I'm not proud of some of the things I say or some of the things I do, but I may act like it sometimes. And that's a sin, simply defined. Number nine, lover of pleasure more than lovers of God. This one right here is so prevalent in the world that we live in today. This is one that so many struggle with. The Bible is clear that we're to love God first, the most. Nothing else shall come before him. But so often, that is not the case. We're not, we are so in love with the things that please the flesh more than we are of lovers of God. And we're like, well, these people in this list, man, they just were Well, I think that we got to be careful when we start pointing fingers. So often we get self-centeredness. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I think it can be, because we start just looking at self, and that takes over our lives, and we become so focused on what I can get and how I can benefit from that, and completely forget about God. You know, loving oneself may seem so much easier than loving God, right? Loving ourselves, loving the things that please us, may seem so much easier than loving God. But truly, it's hard to love ourselves. Because how can you love someone that's never satisfied, right? I'm talking about our flesh. It's so hard to love someone that is never satisfied. One that's always wanting. One that takes and takes and takes and never gives. The Bible tells us that we are to love the Lord our God. It also tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. For some, that could be really hard. We give ourselves everything at once, and then we ought to be giving our neighbors what they want as well. If we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to be giving, right? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How much do we love the Lord? How does that compare to the amount of pleasure in our lives? How does that compare to how much we love that pleasure that's in our lives? Where does God rank? And these folks' lives, that he didn't even really rank. And then the final one, having a form of godliness but not denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And this one is simply defined as outward appearance versus the heart. These false teachers had external trappings of godliness, right? They may have looked like something, but it didn't even know what the real thing was. This is one of the hardest for some to identify, because man often looks at what's on the outward appearance, right? Because we can see. God has given us these eyes, and we can see each other, right? We look at all of our beautiful faces, and we can see what we're doing, how we're acting, and we can see that. And it's easy for us to identify with, okay, this person does this, this person does that. We can see that. So, you know, we're not God. We can't see the heart. So we have to just trust. These have the form on the outside, having a form of godliness, but they just completely deny that God has any power, that God is anything. Their words do not match their actions. And these people creep into the lives of believers. They make friends with them. And then you know what they do? They tie a rope around their waist and they drag them out of that place. They drag them right out of that. You don't need that. You don't need that, right? You're wasting your time. You're wasting your talent. You're wasting your treasure. Let's go do whatever we want. That's what happens. I have witnessed these types of people. I've seen how they operate. And I'm so thankful that God has given me an opportunity to see so many things from the outside looking in, right? Things happening around me for a reason, so that we can learn. I've witnessed their tactics, and I've seen them lead others away. From the outside, they look harmless. In fact, from the outside, and I'm not talking attractive in a sexual sense, but they're attractive. They're the kind of people you want to be around, right? They're the kind of people that just attract crowds. They're like the popular folks, right? They're the ones that you want to be a part of the clique, right? You want to go back to high school and stand around a bonfire at the high school in your little clique, because that's what's still happening. I've seen pictures, right? Like pods of six people. It's just ridiculous, but that's what happens. Ooh, that person's so cool. I want to be with them. Because they have the most amazing shoes on. They're cool. And then before you know it, you're drug off. You're off in the weeds. But when the inside is revealed, when the truth comes out, you know, it could be too late for some. They've already been led away from the truth. they're straying from what they know to be true. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 through 18, it says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know, God's very clear. Man, when you figure it out, you got to mark and avoid those types of people. Do not fall into the trap, because it's nasty and it's destructive. And I'm not saying that one is worse than the other in this list of qualities that we see in this list, because they're all disgusting and they're all contrary to what God wants for our lives. But this type, having a form of godliness but denied the power thereof, from such turn away. These are dangerous folks. This character, these list of qualities here is nasty, and it should turn our stomachs to think that any of these could be found in us as believers, but they can be. What's awesome is that God has put out an umbrella of protection over us, and He wants us to be tucked under that protection and underneath His authority, and this is where we belong, and this is where we are safe. And where do you find yourself today, right? If it's raining, most of the time you put a rain jacket on or hold an umbrella. You don't just stand out in the rain, because it's miserable. But how often do we step out from underneath God's authority and God's protection and just start doing things our own way and wandering around and straying from the truth? And then we're like, this isn't very fun. This is kind of miserable. Hopefully we figure that out. Hopefully we realize that. Hopefully, if any of these qualities be found in us, we realize, man, this is making my life utterly miserable. And I can't move forward. Repent. Trust God. Ask Him to remove it from you. Are you as one of these? Or are you as one that is standing up for truth and making a stand for what is right? Speaking truth into the lives of everyone around us. Not allowing the worldly system to have an impact on the lives around us, right? Because the world wants to conform, right? The world wants us to change in order to fit in and to be a part of the clique, right? The world wants us to go to JCPenney's and buy the right kind of jeans so that we fit in. That's what the world wants. I don't even know if there's JCPenney's anymore, but the devil wants us, man, just blend in. Just be a part of the crowd. You don't need God. And we have to stand up and say, no, well, I'm a child of God, and I have the power to make a change. I have power through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I can change what's going on in the world today. And it's our choice, brothers and sisters. It is. It's our choice, because God is not standing here with a gun to our head saying, you need to go out and do this. No, He's telling us, hey, you need to be a light in the world. You need to go and tell people about the gospel. You need to be about the business. Go. But we have a choice. Will we or won't we? Will we sit back and watch this happen? Will we sit back and watch the world destroy itself? Will we sit back and watch our family members and our friends and our whatever go to hell? Or will we stand up and boldly be used by God to instill truth of God's word into the souls of men and women that He's placed in our lives? We have to examine ourselves, okay? We cannot be as those that are hypocrites. We can't be part of this list and part of that list. We have to, man, we've got to be clean. In James chapter 1, we'll wrap up. James 1, 23 through 25 says, but if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For beholding himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But so whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Oftentimes, okay, so we do the Lord's Supper quarterly around here. And I think that if we're not careful, we can just say, well, the Lord's Supper's coming up in 2 months. I can do whatever I want until then and get clean, and I just use that to clean up my life four times a year. And that's not true, okay? We don't take the Lord's Supper unworthily, okay? We need to be clean before we do that. But we should, man, we should wake up every day and go to sleep every night making sure that we are clean from all sin. Not four times a year or how often as you do it. We need to be active, being a doer. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe, right? We teach the children a song that they don't even understand what it means, right? We're teaching them a lie that obedience is the way you show that you believe. And when they don't even believe in God, we're teaching our children that. But as adults, we're like, well, I don't need to be obedient. Yes, we do. We need to be the one singing that, right? We need to be the one saying, God, I want to be obedient to you because I want to show the world that I believe in you. Church, if we believe in God the Father, and if we believe in Jesus Christ, then we should be at a desire to be a part of what's going on. We should desire to be all about his business and not desire to straddle the fence. Why would we desire to do that? Why would we desire to be a part of both crowds? We got to continue to get after it. And what I can say about New Life Baptist Church, though we may be small in number, we are mighty. Right? Because what's happening here is magnificent. And you guys are doing a magnificent job of glorifying God with your life, spreading the word of Jesus around. We're not promoting New Life Baptist Church. We're promoting Jesus, right? We're not here to say, oh, come to New Life. No, come meet Jesus. That's what we are promoting. And hallelujah for that. Let's keep being contagious and spreading the love of Jesus around. Let's pray. Father God,